All right. So good to be with you again this morning. As you noticed, I didn't have anything for the bulletin again this week, but we're going to be in John chapter 3 most of the day today. John chapter 3 kind of is a picture of Jesus as our teacher. I started thinking about some of the teachers that I had in life when I saw that Jesus is our teacher. And it's really crazy, but I can remember my teachers all the way up through school because you spend a lot of time with teachers, especially in grade school. So I could name you all the teachers that I had right up through, and some of them I liked more than others. Some of them I didn't get along with as good as I did some of the other ones. And so I wasn't really a rebellious child, just didn't always do what I was supposed to. I'll just put it that way. But in chapter 3 of John, the picture there is Jesus as our teacher. And it's the story of Nicodemus. We're going to begin there today. And just learn what Jesus wants to teach us. He's what an awesome, awesome teacher. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Father, I thank you for who you are. Thank you that you love us, that you care for us. Lord, we thank you for this December season, the season of your birth, Lord, Advent, just all the things leading up to Christmas, Lord, and that you had a plan for our lives even when you planned all of this, of sending your son as a baby to be our salvation, to be our sacrifice for sin. So, Lord, as we look at the word today, Father, just speak through me. Just say only what you want to say, Father, that I'll not get in your way, but that I'll be your mouthpiece today. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just begin in chapter 3 of John. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. So the Pharisees were one of the leaders of the Pharisees, and the Sadducees were leaders of the Jews. Paul, as you remember, was a Pharisee, and so Nicodemus was one of the leaders in the Jewish church. He was one of the leaders, one of the members, it says, of the Jewish ruling council. So he helped to make the rules. He helped to rule the children of Israel at the time. And he came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. So the Jews hadn't accepted Jesus as the Messiah yet, but they said, we know you're a teacher. We know that you've come to teach and that you're a teacher. So it says, for no one could perform the miraculous signs that you are doing if God were not with him. And in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So again, he's teaching us of the spiritual man, teaching us that we're not just flesh, but we also have a spirit. One who is in tune with Jesus. I started reading one of the books that Bruce Callender got for us elders to read. I started reading it, and it's Having the Mind of Christ. And so how do we have the mind of Christ but sitting under his teaching? So you teachers know that you try to get across to your students what you have in your mind so that they can retain knowledge and learn what you are trying to teach them. The same way Jesus is teaching us. Each time that we go to the Word, each time that we spend time with somebody that has knowledge, we learn. We learn from them, but we're learning from Jesus all the time, every day. I'm going to show you from the Word that when Jesus got ready to leave the world, that he sent the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, because he knew he wouldn't be here in the world any longer. So we'll always have that. We'll always have the Spirit because we're spiritual beings. And Nicodemus said, "How can this be? You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus. "Do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." So you see, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he started talking about his sacrifice at the end of his ministry. He started preparing people for his sacrifice, for his going to the cross. And then he says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been through God." That's as far as I'm going to read here in chapter 3 of John. The rest of John 3 goes on with John's testimony of Jesus, and you can read that as at your leisure when you'd like to. But these verses here are Jesus teaching Nicodemus, telling him. And Nicodemus, being a leader of the Jews, was one who had a lot of knowledge of the Word. He had a lot of knowledge, or he wouldn't have been a leader. He wouldn't have been a Pharisee. He wouldn't have been one who was in the ruling council of the Jews. But still, he didn't understand about the Spirit. So that's why Jesus was teaching him and us about the Spirit. And that we have to be born again. We have to have a life with Jesus, to walk with him, to learn of his ways and do his bidding. I'd like to go back now to Matthew chapter 5. And all of you know that Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. There's just a whole lot of chapters here in a row with Jesus teaching, with Jesus talking to the people and teaching them. And we're going to look at 1 through 16 of Matthew 5. There's a lot of good things here for us. And it says, now when he saw the crowds, as you know, Jesus, when he walked the earth, he spent a lot of time with the people. He had a lot of compassion for people. He had a lot of mercy. And when he saw the people, when he saw the crowds, he says, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And poor in spirit is someone with humility, someone who has a humble personality. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And meek here doesn't mean weak. We can be meek without being weak. We still have to have strength in Jesus. So it's not somebody that's walked on, but somebody who walks in humility. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So through the Beatitudes here, we find 9 different blessings that the righteous have, that we have as children of God. We're blessed in so many ways. God's promises are so good all the time. It says, and I didn't look up the verse, but it says God's promises are yes and amen. They're not yes and no. And in the last few verses here of this, it's talking about salt and light, about how we radiate the influence that Jesus gives us. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. As you go on through the Sermon on the Mount, the writings of Jesus, that's why I love the red letter edition. These next 4 or 5 chapters in Matthew are all Jesus teaching, talking about the fulfillment of the law, talking about murder, divorce, adultery, love for our enemies. Scriptures are full of Jesus teaching. So as we know as Christians, we've learned that all of the Word of God is inspired by God through the prophets, through Paul as he wrote the letters to the churches, through the four different apostles here at the beginning of the New Testament. There's just lots and lots of different writers in the Scriptures, but they're all inspired by God. They're all inspired to teach us so that we can learn of Him. And I'm going to go back to John 16 now. So just turn back with me to John. There's actually, this is where I told you that we're going to see where Jesus left the Holy Spirit for the ones who followed after Him to have a teacher all the time. And that's why I start my days with "Help me, Holy Spirit," each day, because we don't know what our day holds, do we? Whether we're going to work, whether we're going to the store, whatever you're doing in the day, you don't really know what you're going to need for that day, but the Holy Spirit does. In chapter 16 of John, and beginning at verse 5, it says, "Now I am going to send him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The Counselor being the Holy Spirit. "When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in him. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So I have much more to say to you, more than you can now hear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." It's just awesome how Jesus tells us what's to come. He puts in our hearts what we need for the day. As we all know, the second coming is on its way. We can see the signs of the end times. We can see that Jesus' coming will be soon. And I read that verse again this week where it says 1,000 years are like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years for Jesus. So his timing is so different than ours. Because I know that my parents were looking for the second coming when I was a child 60 years ago. So time doesn't mean a lot to eternity, does it? And that's where Jesus is living, is in eternity. That's where we'll spend the rest of our lives. So Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us after he taught while he was here on earth. And now we have a teacher that is with us all the time. When I was in my daily devotions this week, I think it was Saturday morning. Actually, it was after I had got the lesson ready for today. I went to my Draw Near to God book, and the one that was for Saturday, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." This is from John 14:26. "And he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. When Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room just before he went to the cross, the Lord took great care to address their fears and uncertainties. They were afraid because they knew that Jesus' time was short. They didn't know how they were going to go on without him. It says, although the disciples didn't understand what was about to take place, they understood that changes were coming, and they were distraught. They had given up everything to follow Jesus and were worried about how they would continue what Jesus had begun. And Jesus assured them that he would send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to guide and teach them, to remind them of everything that Jesus had taught them. The Holy Spirit still works in his followers, enabling us to comprehend spiritual truths. Imagine if you didn't have the Holy Spirit to discern the Scriptures to you. I have been so thankful to, as I read, to have the Spirit discern for me what I'm reading, so you can understand what you're reading in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit still works in his followers, enabling us to comprehend spiritual truths. It is because of the Spirit's work that we are able to understand the Bible and know the truths about God. Every time we read his Word, it's appropriate to ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Scriptures and teach us things we couldn't know apart from him. And then a prayer that goes along with this says, Lord, I long to know you better and to be better and to understand better your word. I pray the Holy Spirit will teach me every time I open the Bible so that I will grow in wisdom and knowledge of you. Hallelujah. God is our teacher. He teaches us everything that we need. Scripture says that everything we need, he'll teach us and show us his ways. So as you go this week, just remember to ask for the Spirit's help each day. Ask the Holy Spirit to just teach you what you need for the day. And just always, when you're in the Word of God, know that it's him speaking to you. It's him sharing important little knowledge that we need to know. So if anyone has prayer needs this morning, we'd love to pray with you. So Matt and Jesse and I will be here to pray with you. If you know of anybody within the body that we need to help this Christmas, let us know that as well. I just thank all of you for the way that you support us with prayer and with your funds, with your tithes and offerings. God is so good. So God bless you. Let's just finish up.